Father, I thank you for the words of that song. They remind me that you moved heaven and earth to save us. The sinless Son of God was crucified for my sins. And then he rose. And he rescued me. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray that as I bring this message, that you would move in our hearts. May we hear your word. May we be compelled by your love to tell others about your amazing grace. So, Holy Spirit, please come, fill me with your power. Enable our hearts to hear, our ears to hear, our eyes to see. In Jesus' name, name above all names, amen. Quick survey for you. How did the gospel come to you when you put your faith in Christ? So, by raise of hands, how many of you were saved by watching Christian television? Anybody in the room? Nobody. Zero. Okay. How about, was anybody saved as a result of listening to a Christian radio broadcast? Anybody? Tyler? Star 88.3? No? Nobody. You're doing good work, though. So... how many of you were saved as a result of listening to a sermon? Anybody? Okay, so several. Maybe 7, 8, 9, maybe? Okay, praise God. How many were saved as a result of the influence of a friend or a family member? So, okay, good number there. And that was me as well. My pastor's wife, she told me the truth. Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but in October... of this year, our city of Fort Wayne has the privilege of hosting a Will Graham celebration. It's going to be at the Coliseum, and in 2017, there were only two cities in the United States that were selected to host one of these, and Fort Wayne was one of them. So far, there's about 75 churches that have gotten involved in the support through volunteers and financial and prayer support. And Alliance Community Church is going to be, and is, one of those supporting churches for this event that will be coming in October. Now, if you're like me, you might be saying, who is Will Graham? I know Billy Graham, but who's Will Graham? I didn't even know who he was until about a year ago. Well, you probably know Franklin Graham, because we do the Operation Shoebox Christmas, however I just butchered that, the Operation Christmas Child Shoebox thing every Christmas, right? So we do that. Well, that's Franklin Graham, which is Billy Graham's son. And Franklin had a son named Will. And Will is now taking up the torch, so to speak, of doing the crusades around the world. And he is coming to Fort Wayne in October. But this event is not about the Graham family. That's not what this is. This is about the family of God preparing for an entire city to have a move of the Holy Spirit at this particular time in the history of the church here, so that we can move closer to the completion of the Great Commission that Jesus gave us. Because when the Great Commission is complete, then Jesus is coming back for us. So let's get this thing done. Our purpose as Alliance Community Church is to represent Christ. And we are to join with the Holy Spirit where he is already at work, redeeming hearts that are far from God. And we want to do everything that we can to prepare the way of the Lord to move in great power, even right here in Fort Wayne. Part of the planning process for this huge effort was to mobilize churches all over Fort Wayne and asking pastors to encourage congregations to pray for friends and family that don't know Jesus yet, to tell friends and family about the celebration that's going to take place in October, and then to bring those friends and family to the event so that they can hear, maybe for the first time, the good news of the gospel. And the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association has asked pastors in the month of June to preach a message about friendship evangelism that's based on the passage in John 1:35 through 42. the example of the disciple Andrew. So some of the material from my message this morning comes from the outline that they provided and that they asked us to share with churches. And over the course of the next 4 months, we're going to be praying as we prepare for this celebration that will take place at the Colosseum. Graham asked me earlier, well, how many people are going to be there? I said, I don't know. I hope we're able to fill it. Wouldn't that be fantastic? With the hope that thousands of unbelievers will come to hear the gospel, and then they will leave as believers in Jesus. So if you have a Bible, I would encourage you to turn to the book of John. We're going to be in John chapter 1. Now you might say, well, I thought we were up to chapter 13. Well, we are, but we're going to jump back to chapter 1 for today, just for today. And if you recall from the last couple years of our study of the book of John, chapter 1 starts with this marvelous introduction of Jesus as the Word of God, and then it shifts the focus briefly to this crazy character, John the Baptist, who is proclaiming, testifying to Israel that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away, not just covers, but takes away the sins of the world. And John wrote his gospel so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So we're ready to pick up at verse 35 of John chapter 1. I'm going to read through verse 42. It reads this way. The next day, John, this would be John the Baptist, was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw that they were saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. This morning I'd like to focus in this particular passage on the character of Andrew. And so let me start with Andrew's profile. You probably have heard of him, but there's really not a whole lot of information about him, not in comparison to the other three that are ahead of him. Whenever they list the disciples, it's always Peter, John, and James, and then number 4 is usually Andrew. He was just a fisherman from a small town on the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee called Bethsaida. If I gave you a quiz, I'm guessing you probably wouldn't be able to figure out where that is. I wouldn't have been able to either. Andrew was really from nowhere, and he was just kind of an average Joe, like most of us. As a fisherman, he worked really hard to earn a living, but at some point, he decided to follow John the Baptist. He became a disciple of his. And we don't know much about this part of his life other than what is recorded in John chapter 1. And verses 35 through 37 give us a snapshot of Andrew's conversion to Christ, which came as the result of John the Baptist preaching about the Lamb who would not just cover the sin of the world, but would take it away. And because of this powerful analogy that John used, Andrew followed Jesus. And he was one of the first two to become a disciple of Jesus, along with John, the author of this gospel. However, it's kind of interesting. No sooner do we meet Andrew than we're reminded that his life was lived in the shadow of his brother, the larger-than-life figure, Simon Peter. In many instances in the New Testament, wherever Andrew's name is listed, he's not just Andrew, he is Simon Peter's brother. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, where you're always kind of in the shadow of someone else. Someone else's fame sort of overshadows you, and they don't know you because of you. They know you because of the person that you're with. I kind of had this experience when Pastor Brian served here, and every year we'd go to district conference. In the first few years that we went, nobody knew who I was or had never really heard of Alliance Community Church. But as soon as I would mention Pastor Brian's name, they would be like, I know him. Oh, that's the church in Fort Wayne. And so I had a little bit of taste of what Andrew must have felt, as Andrew was not well known, but his boisterous brother Peter was likely well known by many. Andrew's resume doesn't include any writing in the New Testament. You don't have a book of the New Testament that Andrew wrote. But his place in history is interesting because Andrew is the one who introduced Peter to Jesus. And so in doing this, he establishes a pattern that we can follow as we look for opportunities to introduce our family and friends to the Savior. So let's take a look at Andrew's process. Verses 40 through 42. It says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother, Simon, and tell him, we have found the Messiah. And he brought him to Christ, to Jesus. I don't know if you happen to notice, and I think I have them bolded there in the text today, but the three simple steps that Andrew followed as he introduced Peter. It was find, tell, and bring. Find, tell, and bring. And that's a snapshot of what friendship evangelism looks like. And it's the strategy that one of the strategies that we'll employ as we lead up these months to the celebration in October. As believers, we are to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, who came not to be served, but to seek and save lost people. We're to seek out those who don't know Christ. It's not a passive seeking. That's an intentional, proactive movement. We are to find those who have no hope. We're to look everywhere. Next door, across the street, in the place where you work and shop, where you get your hair cut, where you get your oil changed, in your mops group, in your neighborhood, or wherever you find yourself, we're to find people where we are. We're to be intentional about finding lost people. And it's amazing who you can actually see when you slow down and put your phone away and actually pay attention to who's around you, especially among your own friends. We need to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to help us find lost people so that He can create divine appointments for us. And He has promised that as we go and make disciples and find these people, He will be with us. And when we find them, we need to tell them how Jesus has changed our life. We need to be ready to testify about the answer that we have found in Christ. We need to give testimony of God's grace at work in our life and the difference that He makes as He gives you peace and hope and joy in the midst of mess. We need to tell them the truth about what the Bible says regarding our problem of sin and eternal death. We have to be willing to tell people the bad news before we can reveal the good news to them. The bad news is we have a problem with sin and death, and we need to tell them the truth about these things. And our job is to simply proclaim the good news, not worry about the results. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict and to break hearts. The results are not our responsibility, but the telling, the proclaiming, the revealing of truth is our job. And so we need to pray that the Lord would fill us with His power, that we could do our part in telling others, our family and friends especially, about the Savior. The scriptures say this in Colossians, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. This is Paul speaking. He says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. That's Colossians chapter 4. And so after we find them and we tell them, the final step in Andrew's process was to bring them. Bring them where? Well, Andrew was, he had a little advantage over us in the sense that he was able to actually take Peter to Jesus. That would be really kind of nice. However, we have somewhat of an advantage over Andrew and Peter in that if Jesus is on the other side of the planet, it might be difficult for us to get there. But God has not left us a gospel that requires us to go to a certain place to worship or find truth. He has revealed it in his word, and we can proclaim it, and people can find Jesus wherever they are, anytime, anywhere. The fields are ripe for harvest. We need to find the lost, tell them, and bring them the good news about life and forgiveness in Jesus. You could also bring your friend to church. That would be good, but you know as well as I do that just bringing somebody to church doesn't save somebody. God's not keeping score. Church doesn't save anybody from hell. Only faith in Jesus will bring forgiveness of sin and eternal life. And so we need to be praying that the Lord would fill us with the power of his Holy Spirit to do our part in bringing them to a knowledge of the Savior. And this is just one process that can be used as we seek to be ambassadors for Christ. When you scan the rest of John's gospel, and if you're looking for that character Andrew, you'll find that Andrew appears a few more times in the story. And what's interesting about Andrew's pattern is the pattern that emerges. You might remember in chapter 6 of John's gospel, Jesus and the disciples were being followed by this huge crowd of people. And Jesus asks this funny question, where shall we buy food, or where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? And it was Andrew who found the boy with the bread and the fish, and it was Andrew who brought him to Jesus. Andrew's pattern seems to be that he's kind of a connector. He brings people to Jesus. Andrew doesn't get the glory for the miracle that day, and nor should he. But Andrew's contribution that day was important. And even though it was behind the scenes, God used it. You see something similar in John chapter 12. It says, now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn then told Jesus. Once again, Andrew's pattern seems to be that he plays this role of connecting people who are looking for answers, and he connects them to Jesus. And maybe you'll find that your role in this kingdom of God is similar to Andrew's. God uses ordinary people in extraordinary ways. Sometimes we don't even realize it. And he uses us that we might connect people who are looking for hope. The truth is that God wants to use you. And the relationships that you have already established, he wants to use those to proclaim truth. God's plan is that the gospel goes through people. relationships. In this world that is dying and dark, the Lord calls us to be both salt and light. And you don't have to have a great resume. Andrew didn't. But there is one thing for sure that you do need. Jesus said this to his disciples, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will only be able to find and tell and bring people and connect people to Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. When we try to do it in our own strength, when we try to do it because it's our duty, because I'm trying to keep God happy, because I have to do this, because all of these other tricks that the enemy plays on us, rather than help, than our understanding that this is a privilege for us to be able to share this information with people. When we do it in our own strength, we sound like a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. We may feel like it's loving, but if we're doing it in our own strength, it's not. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. We're going to do something a little bit different today. You may have noticed the bulletin board up here. I'll get to that in just a minute. But before we get to that, Graham, I'd like you to go ahead and play the video.
Sometimes the greatest thing that ever happened to you is the hardest thing to share. You want to know how you can tell the world about Christ when you get nervous about telling the person next to you. But no need to worry. Look around. Your world is simply those who are right around you. The opportunities are endless. Don't miss them. It'd be wise to keep a list. You must also allow God to guide your steps, because sharing His love is too important not to. So look up in prayer to the hills from whence comes your help. Look out, because there are many ways to spend time with those you want to reach. Take advantage of the chances you get. No meeting is too small or insignificant to nurture a friendship, one that will take you to the next step, where you look forward and invite them to a festival. Then stay engaged. Look after them with encouragement, love, and prayer. You see, it's not about striking names off a list. It's about enriching the lives of the names on that list, being a true friend to the names on that list, bringing Christ to the names on that list. Now is the time to act. Now is the time to share. Now is the time to love. Through the Bring a Friend program, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association has a tool to help. So no need to be afraid anymore. Just look. Hey man, hold on a second.
If I can have my helpers. Everybody needs one of these. And inside you're going to find another. Here, go ahead and take one. Everybody needs one. Careful, there's those things inside there. There's a little insert inside of each one as well. I'll start at the back here. So inside you're going to find an opportunity for a couple of lists. Here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to fill out the list, but I want you to fill it out twice. Same names on both lists. Because one list you're going to take with you today, the one in the brochure, and the smaller one, I'm going to ask you to come up here and post your list on the bulletin board. I've got some tacks. We're going to post that up there, and we're going to pray between now and this celebration in October for lost people that are in your world. I don't know your people. I can't reach them. You can. And so that's why you've got to find them, be aware of who's in your circle, and then pray for them that God would give you the opportunity to be able to tell them. Let's just start with step one, which is just find them, and this is part of that process, is listing that out. So I'd like you to take a couple of minutes. You'll fill out the names. The names would be the same on both lists. So my list, Jason, Todd, Ishmael, Larry, I got that. Those are the first four on both of my lists. So I've got the same 12 names on both of my lists. And then when you're done filling that out, I'd like you to just come on up here and post this. If you wouldn't mind, too, if you would write your name at the top so we know whose list it is, that would be helpful as well. Write your list out and then just pin it right up here on the board. Because the last time I checked, the reason the church exists is not for itself. It is for lost people. We are to be salt and light, and these are the people who need to hear. And I'm scared to tell them, but I need the power of the Holy Spirit to work through me to do this. And you don't have to fill out all 12. If you only got two names, praise God. If you only have one name, praise God. And we're not making any promises. We're not saying, oh, I got to figure out a way to invite all these people. No, we're just praying for these people. And I'm going to commit to you as pastor that we're going to pray over these names every week between now and October. I encourage you to take that other list with you. Post it somewhere at home where you'll see it regularly. And pray. Pray for these people. That they would see Jesus. If you need to come back and add names again later, that's totally fine. All right. Well, praise God. There's always got to be one here, right, that's out of line. Ken, you can blame your wife for that. So she's retired though now, so maybe she's busting out. So. So the Billy Graham Association says that 80% of people that come forward during their crusades are people who were brought by a friend. What is the purpose of the church? We are to be his ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And as a church, we need to be praying for these people. Hopefully you already are. But if you're like me, like I used to be, I didn't care about lost people. That was somebody else's job. I had forgotten that the Great Commission is my responsibility. What will happen with these names? Only God knows. But if we believe the book, then we must be intentional about praying for those who are lost. The scripture says, to those who accepted his message, or those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Wouldn't it be fantastic if that happened here with those people? Even just one of them saved from eternal destruction. Tyler, before you play, I'm going to pray. Father, I pray over these names, these loved ones, these friends and family that you have put on our radar. Holy Spirit, please give us the power, the wisdom, the discernment, the opportunity to be able to tell, not with a bullhorn and shoving it down people's throats, but in a loving, gracious, Jesus kind of way, that we may proclaim the good news of the gospel to these names. And so, Father, I pray that in your faithfulness, you would draw them to yourself, and that you would use us as a church to do what you have called us to do. Light a fire of evangelism in this place. And may Fort Wayne be the beginning of a revival that may sweep our country. Not for the glory of Fort Wayne, but for your glory, O Lord. To God and God alone be the glory, now and forevermore. Amen.